I will now hand it over to Supervisor Moulton Peters for the Marin Housing Authority meeting.
Okay, thank you, President Sackett. Good afternoon, everyone. It's 1:30 p.m., and I'd like to call the meeting of the Marin County Housing Board of Commissioners, Housing Authority Board of Commissioners, to order. This meeting is being recorded, and thank you to everyone who's joining us today. We are going to take up public comment for items not on the agenda, but before I do that, I want to say that we have noticed that many comments about comments here at the Housing Authority Board about maintenance issues. And so to help address these directly at these meetings, we have Ronald Davis and Michelle Papiro from the Housing Authority here today. And Ronald and Michelle, I wonder if you'd please introduce yourselves and let people know how to reach you, just so everyone's aware. Welcome to the meeting.
Hi, my name is Ronald Davis. I'm the property program manager for Golden Gate Village. You can reach me at 415-491-2525, extension 330, and at rdavis, at marinhousing.org via email as well.
Great. And Michelle, would you like to do the same for us, please, so everybody knows you're here, too? Sure, it's fine.
To you all, I have my business card with me. I believe the residents that are here have that. You guys are welcome to contact me, and I will personally give you guys my business card. So I'm Michelle. I'm the Housing Portfolio Director for Housing Authority.
Great. So today, in public comment, if maintenance issues come up, I'm going to ask you to talk to Ronald and Michelle, and they can take your issues down. So, at this time, we will begin public comment on items not on today's agenda, and we do encourage respectful dialogue that supports free speech, values, and diverse opinions. So, as we say at the Board of Supervisors meetings, please keep all the comments civil, avoid personal attacks, and refrain from disruptive language. We are not going to be able to take up any of the items today that you may bring up, but we are glad to hear from you. So everyone has 2 minutes, and we'll start with comments from in the chambers, and then we'll move to online. So public comment, anyone wish to speak to something not on the agenda?
My name is LaDana Gibson. I'm a community liaison, and I do the laundry room. I've been coming here since January about our payment. So we were told that our payment was approved, and then when we got our payment, it was $100. Kimberly.
Okay, to the board, please.
Kimberly Carroll. Royce McLemore, when we took on this, when we updated the community liaison and the laundry room thing, it was supposed to be $200 that we get paid for doing the meetings, keeping the laundry room closed, open, cleaned, and passing out flyers. We didn't get paid for January and February. They just gave us $100 and gonna tell us that $50 was for January, $50 was for February. That is not cool. We've been doing our work. We want our money. $100 is not enough. They still owe us $300. I'm tired of coming talking about it. We need our money. They wanted to have receipts about it. They wanted to find a contract about it. I done supplied a couple of things, and it's not enough.
Thank you.
I want my money.
Thank you.
And other residents want their money as well. Thank you.
I will look into it.
Hi, Marguerite Moriarty. I don't think this is on the agenda. I believe somewhere, I can't find it now, that I read that there were 10 turnovers or rehabs of the BMRs, the below market rate properties. And I'd like to know, I've asked this before, and I don't know. I'd like to know who got those properties. So I don't know if I have to go through a special procedure or if it's not information that I'm entitled to because it's private names, but I'm interested in that. The other items on the agenda, I believe, about job training for the people that have expressed an interest. I'm really interested and curious about who gets those jobs and is eligible through the interview process. And I have one more thing, but I can't remember what it is now. So.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, in Kimberly's report, she says at the last sentence about the allegation of, the abusive language that was used by Ronald Davis and Michelle Pupero at that incident with Stephen at the Golden Gate Village. And I just want to know that some coaching is being done or some training about how to interact on both sides. I recognize the Golden Gate Village person may have caused something too. But the point is that their managers and they're representing our county. And if that language was used, it's completely inappropriate in my opinion.
Okay, and so I'd you're like requesting training and coaching. That's what
I'm requesting that they get some, and I'm good. I have reservations about Ronald being the person that's addressing the people that are not in good standing.
Yes. Council? Would you,
Okay, great. Thanks. So I'm going to remind this commission as well as everyone in this room that personnel matters are confidential. They're handled confidential and through a statutory process, and this is not the proper forum to bring them. If anyone has complaints that they themselves have witnessed or something they have gone through with a staff member, please contact Kimberly Carroll directly. Her email is kcarroll@marinhousing.org. Thank you.
All right, next speaker, please.
Yes, Aura Hathaway, thank you. And then I will contact you with what I have to say about the people that have taken over for Nan McKay. But the two comments I want to make that are not on the agenda, one of them has to do with the MOU for the Golden Gate Village Resident Council. And the public is very concerned that there is an MOU signed. I know that I heard that it's supposed to be the end of September, but I just want to remind the Board of Commissioners that there's no memorandum of understanding right now, and we'd like to see that put in place. And secondly, my question is, does Marin Housing Authority plan to replace the whole water system, supply system from galvanized pipes to the pipes, the 3/4-inch pipes that go to each building in phase one? My understanding is that the whole system is now one system. Remember, it was built way back in the late 50s, early 60s, and it is outdated, and the whole system needs to be replaced, which begs the question, how are you going to do that phase by phase if it's all one system? And it's not, we asked Riley of Burbank when we got to speak with him in person. He didn't have an answer for that, so we'd like that answer. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you very much. Next, please.
My name is Joanne Garcia. I'm a resident of Golden Gate Village. I wanted to thank Kimberly Carroll for the opportunity of including me in the empowerment group. I really enjoyed that, and it was something new. And she opened herself up to us in a way that, I have heard of her, didn't know her, but now I'm confident with her, and I believe what she says to me. Second, I went up to Marin Housing's office because I've been there almost 11 years. I've had somebody stealing from my yard. I know who it is, got video of it, but I had made complaints, but my file's empty. Golden Gate, I think her name is Ricky, told me, what would you like me to do? I said, excuse me? I go, I would like you to do your job. Well, what would you like that to be? She was very aggressive for no reason. But at the same time, they're not going to do nothing about it. They're not going to give him a violation. They're not going to tell him, you need to stop stealing. The whole community knows him. He's the thief of the neighborhood. But they're not going to do nothing about it. They wanted me to go to the police, make a police report, waste their time over what they could handle it themselves. And I just was really offended that she answered me the way she answered me I don't think I asked her, what would you, if it was reversed, how would you like it to them help you? There was no response. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Royce McLemore. And quickly, I have 6 non-negotiables as we're moving forward. And I want to thank Riley for giving us part of the information that we need to be consulting parties for the Section 106. But on another side, we haven't had a meeting. We've had one introductory meeting, but not meetings with Kimberly Carroll. We have an MOU that we are waiting to go through. But some non-negotiables going forward in terms of what we're looking at in the future. Our right to return, we've been told it, but we as a resident council need to see it in binding language. Unit for unit replacement at the same bedroom sizes and rents tied to income. And that's a unit for unit, because I've already seen that that's not the case. Ownership and land control after rehab. Is it going to be private or nonprofit, including the ground lease terms? A detailed relocation plan. We've been told, but we have not seen anything in any type of writing as to where people will actually be going in phase one. Get to phase two if we're still around. Number 5, climate safety plan, the NEPA/CEQA, as it relates to the fire, flood, damage upgrades, and emergency egress routes for the Golden Gate Village. And 6, tenant screening surveillance policies going forward, which tools will be used, vendors' names, and the fair housing privacy and safeguards. Well, that's it for now. Thank you. But I do want, I'll give a copy to Kimberly, and you will be included, as well as Sarah and the rest of you. Say that I don't know.
Royce,
I'll send it to everyone.
You will send a written list of your questions to us. That would be helpful. We can respond in writing.
Okay.
Great.
All right.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'll send it, and then, but for the public, I'm still going to say it, okay?
Oh, of course,
okay.
But it just
Thank
helps
you.
Us keep track of it better. Okay, I think I'm not seeing anyone else in the chambers. Is there anyone online for public comment?
The first speaker is Rebecca Hazel. Please unmute.
Hi. Rebecca Hazel. I'm a volunteer with Friends of Golden Gate Village and Main Street Moms. The continued progress and the revitalization of Golden Gate Village is welcome, with a permit filed and help offered to residents living in phase one units to prepare for temporary locations getting started. But it may sound corny, but it makes my spirit soar to learn that residents are going to have the opportunity to learn construction trade skills. This is something that for years we talked about as an important part of the program for Golden Gate Village. With the initiation of the 12-week full-time intensive program, they also have potential apprenticeships and other, you know, future technical assistant positions and things like that. So big thank you to Juanita Douglas, Executive Director of Trades Women's Inc., for leading the way forward. And if you don't know her, you definitely should. As well as Burbank and MHA staff, you know, were involved as well. It's also good to see Ronald and Michelle here. On maintenance, a concern I have is that the residents in phase two and three are going to continue to live in failed and unsafe units. And much progress was made over the last couple of years with the practice of semi-monthly maintenance meetings where MHA was there, as well as residents who could express themselves directly. And usually we had someone from the resident council there as well. But during that time, we saw some of the maintenance practices change and responses improve. I understand that those meetings no longer take place. And I believe strongly that residents, having seen it work, that residents need a reliable way to escalate unaddressed issues and have them resolved. Thank you.
The next speaker is Ms. J. Moses. Please unmute. Oh, Ms. J. has lowered her hand. There are no more speakers in the queue.
Thank you. We will close public comment. Tom, I wonder if there's any items that our executive director team might want to respond to.
Yes, I first want to reintroduce Riley Leisenborn. He is with Burbank. He's our development partner. I also have Mike Andrews with our development consultant who is on Zoom if there's some questions, but I just want to let you know that he's here, and I'm going to turn it over to Riley to respond to the question about the pipes, water pipes.
Yeah. Good afternoon, supervisors. With respect to the water pipes, you know, we've talked about it a lot. For phase one specifically, all the pipes from the water main line in Drake, so from the main in Drake all the way to the buildings and then throughout the buildings, will be completely replaced for phase one. And that system will be on its own closed loop system for phase one. Phase two and phase three will remain on the current existing system until such time that we'll get the financing for phase two and for phase three to do the same process as we're doing with phase one.
Thank you.
And I think the only other thing I want to comment on is we did, we used to have what we called block captains, I believe, that were with the resident council. And the resident council, they were paying residents a stipend of $200. And that was an agreement they had with the residents. We, prior to that, the housing authority had agreements with residents that we paid residents a $50 stipend to help us clean the laundry rooms. HUD, we have to have a contract to pay out money, federal dollars. And so our contract, we did not have a contract with the residents because it was a resident council duty. Then the resident council disbanded, which left a couple of these residents without. So we diverted back to our $50 and did pay for the January and February stipend. And then we did reissue an agreement with residents, and we are paying a $200 stipend to residents to help clean out the laundry rooms in our high-rise buildings and then also help to deliver notices, flyers to residents and keep residents informed under our community liaison program, which we did start in March of 2025. So I just wanted to give an update on that as well. And as far as the MOU with the resident council, we are in process of working with that, and we'll be submitting that, a draft of our MOU, to the resident council before the end of the month.
And so offline, can you resolve the issue with Ms. Davis that she's brought to us? Not in this room, but if you could address that. And then just finally, are you having the monthly maintenance meetings or anything of that nature anymore?
We are not. Our history from doing the maintenance meetings was our staff with some of the community member, not community, the Main Street moms from Inverness were coming and participating in that. And sometimes we'd get one or two residents, but generally speaking, it was the Main Street moms from Inverness. And we are so busy turning units, addressing work orders, doing everything on a 33-acre property, it just wasn't a good use of my staff's time. So we are not going to be doing that for the foreseeable future.
Okay. But again, maintenance requests can go to Ronald or to Michelle.
Absolutely. And we have a 24-hour maintenance line. So if anybody has any work orders, weekends, holidays, evenings, it goes straight to Ronald and Michelle and then me. So we all get them. And we know we have a maintenance on-call person. We have a staff that addresses work orders 24/7. So yes, we are addressing work orders, and we'll continue to do that for phases 2 and 3 as we start the revitalization for phase 1. And Burbank is taking over that work. The Housing Authority will continue to do what we're doing for phases 2 and 3.
Okay, thank you. All right, that concludes our time for public comment. So we're going to move on to 14B, approval of the minutes of the meeting of August 19th, 2025. Are there any commissioners or members of the public who'd like to make any changes or additions to the minutes? I'm not seeing any.
I'll move adoption.
Second.
Thank you. We have a motion by Commissioner Sackett, a second by Commissioner Lucan. Are there any public Okay, I'm not seeing anyone. We'll take a vote. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any? Okay, thank you. Let me get closer to it. Okay, any opposition to this? I'm not. This is to approving the minutes. So I'm sorry, approving the minutes. And I did say public comment on the minutes. Okay, very good. And I'm sorry, I'll speak right into the microphone now. You got it.
As it relates to the public comments, around the maintenance issue, I was...
This is on the minutes, Royce. I'm sorry. I'm going to keep us all contained. Yeah, only
okay.
The minutes.
All right.
Thank you. Yes, Aura, this pertains to the minutes, correct?
Hi. I just want to say that in the minutes, it has how many comments there were from the public. And I think it would be great to actually summarize what the public is saying in the minutes. I would appreciate that. Going forward. Thank you so much.
Okay, we have voted on the minutes. We'll now move on to the next item C, which is Board of Commissioners matter and Executive Director's report. I will simply say as chair that yesterday I was at the Redwoods in Mill Valley where I was asked to provide an update on the renovation of Golden Gate Village, which I was happy to do with all the progress being made. Barbara Bogard was there to fill in some comments. But I think it was a good opportunity to share our plans and how we're moving forward and all of the community and resident involvement we've had. So it was well received, and everybody took it all in. So thank you. Kimberly, I'll move it to you now.
Thank you. Good afternoon, commissioners. I have submitted my written report, and I do want to also highlight what Rebecca Housel has brought up. We're really excited also to get started on a construction trade 12-week program with Juanita. We are, in partnership. We're still working out the details, but we're very excited to hopefully offer that. We've got a lot of interest. We have about 20 residents so far, and we're at the maximum we can do is 26. So we're still trying to recruit a few more residents to participate in this wonderful training that will give people an opportunity to get into the trades. And along with that program, we also have the Lime Foundation, which is also that I brought up last month, that will be providing it's more of a beginner's training program to get folks interested and more involved in the construction trade. So I think this is really exciting that we've been able to do that in partnership with our development partner, Burbank. I also asked Riley to be able to provide an update. Last month, we talked about the per cost for an affordable housing unit. And so I just was hoping that he could fill the board and the public in a little bit on how all of the income, the funding works for us to create an affordable unit. And I just heard from someone that I thought was really a good point, is it's really not affordable to create an affordable housing unit. It's affordable for the people who live there. So I really want us to keep that, you know, it's really an end game here. We're looking at it to be affordable at the end, because it is staggering, in my opinion. So I'm going to turn it over to Riley.
Thanks, folks. So just to touch on, you know, the points about some of the drivers of what drives affordable housing costs so much. So with respect to Golden Gate Village, as you're all aware, you know, it's was constructed 64 years ago. It's in dire need of repairs and improvements to the buildings and the infrastructure, which we've talked about quite a bit over the months. You know, some of the things that really drive the overall cost of the project, one is just the age of the community in the buildings and the large scope that has to be done. It's everything from exterior work, interior work, site infrastructure, to really revitalize all those buildings, to the point that we want them to be. In addition to that, the whole site and phase one specifically has been designated a historic district. So with that comes additional, you know, or specific design modifications and materials that have to be used to keep within the historic nature of the property. That drives up both cost and time. The project size and scope, with phase one, it is 14 buildings with units spread across 14 buildings. It's not a very efficient way for building units or rehabbing units efficiently and cost effectively. So that is another driver there that is driving up the cost. Another big one is the requirement on this phase one revitalization of prevailing wage in Davis-Bacon. Historically, it adds approximately 20 to 25% additional labor costs onto the hard costs of a rehab or a new construction. So that adds considerable cost to the budget. Additionally, as we're all aware, temporary relocation, it's expensive in and of itself. The fact that the housing stock in Marin City is so limited, it doesn't allow us to temporarily relocate residents, a lot of residents at a time. Right now we're looking at between 20 to 24 households. So it elongates the construction timeline. It adds more months of construction, and that increases costs. And then lastly, we'll touch on is just the current construction market continues to increase. It's not going down. Labor is high. Materials are high. We've got inflation and going on. So it's all of these are reasons why the cost of the rehab is so high on a per unit basis.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Anything further?
No, that concludes my report.
Very good. Okay, questions from commissioners at all? I'm not seeing any to my right or to my left. We'll go ahead and open for public comment on this report.
Yes, Royce McLemore again. First, affordable housing is not affordable if you're low or very low income. So you're talking a whole different range of people. Then what's going to happen to us who are low and very low income? So it's not one and the same. That's how Marin City got gentrified the way that it is, because people believed that affordable was affordable for us who live in Marin City, who are low income and extremely low income people. With what Riley said, again, I'm requesting, and I'll put it in writing, the right to return as a document, the unit for unit replacement as a document, ownership and land control after rehab, including ground lease terms and duration, a detailed relocation plan, because in looking at what I saw, you got a spot for manager's office. So that put a question mark there, as well as the climate safety plan for fire, flood damage upgrades, emergency egress routes for Golden Gate Village, and tenant screening surveillance policies. But the first five, being that I am a consulting party, those are some of the things in terms of the standards, the historical standards, and that's what I'm going just by the various historic standards to make sure that Golden Gate Village will be just like the Marin Civic Center as it relates to maintenance and maintaining. And like I told Riley, I'm just here to make sure that the materials would be lasting materials to last another 50 years. I won't be here, I told him. I won't be here to see it, but at least someone will be able to enjoy it like I have been able to enjoy living at Golden Gate Village. Long live Golden Gate Village.
Next, please.
Laura Hathaway. Yes, I do have some question about, okay, so the area median income from Marin County is about approximately $140,000. 80% of that, which will then allow people to move in to the RAD units, is about $114,000 a year. And the people that are living in Golden Gate Village now are at about 20 to 30% of AMI. Begs the question in terms of the mixed income and the right to return, what is that mix going to be? And also how, I have not seen, now Lewis Jordan was very good at, even though he had a lot of developers, he went through RDJ, CVR, and Michaels, each one of them did a physical needs assessment. We have not seen a recent physical needs assessment, meaning we're looking at an affordable unit, but there isn't a per unit price, line item, each line item, like the windows, the doors. We've asked for the specifications, which will give us what the products are made out of, the materials, and the method of construction, because I understand that in order to keep Golden Gate Village affordable for the people that are there, a lot of the materials have been very inadequate and they haven't lasted. And we're looking at a historic property that will only increase in value if we make sure that we're looking at the life of the property and not just trying to do something quickly to meet the schedule to get people in there. Thank you.
Next, please.
Yeah, my concerns are, I addressed it a couple times back about the roaches. If, when they relocate us, what are they going to do about that? I plan not to take nothing, but that's not feasible for everybody. And I still haven't got an answer on that. And what's going to happen to the laundry rooms that they have in the towers, that space, since the apartments are going to now have washers and dryers put into them. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, please.
This is going for our residents. There's a lot of them, especially the elders, that have fixed income. It's a lot of people that have fixed income that lives here in the Golden Gate Village property. A lot of them are worried about where they're going to go. On when all this revitalization happened, affordable housing, just like Roy said, is not affordable. That's number one. And number two, we still living in squatting conditions. In the meanwhile, you guys talking about contact Michelle and Ronald for maintenance. People have been doing this, calling for maintenance, even elders. I'm talking to elders that have simple lights out that they need their lights, and they have to wait 2 and 3 weeks to get this done, you know, get somebody to go in there to do that. And then on top of that, Kimberly, you was there when we did the whole little $200 thing for the laundry rooms. I don't understand why you're trying to flip-flop and play this game today. We did the work. And every time that you and resident council, housing and resident council split, housing still pick up that bill and pay our the block captain, the community liaisons, or whatever. That $100 don't work.
Okay, thank you. That's not what
419
we're talking
and 409,
about.
We make the real money there. We the only two buildings that's really clean. So you can play with it if you want to.
Okay, let's go on to line for public comment.
There are currently no speakers in the queue.
Okay, thank you. Kimberly, I'm going to ask if you would clarify affordability after renovation and the use of the Section 8 vouchers.
Absolutely. No, I would like to, because there is some very miscommunication that's happening here. And so affordable housing, yes, in the some worlds, you know, affordable housing is 80% of AMI. Section 8, you do not qualify for the voucher if you're 80% of AMI. You have to be 50% or below. So there's nobody who's going to, well, let me just back up. I'm sorry. For Golden Gate Village, everyone coming in is going to get moved right back in. There's no screening done. We're going to move everybody right back in. Everyone will sign a lease. And I'm hoping that the folks behind me are also hearing me, because this is important information for everyone to really hear. People will still be income-based. Their rent will be income-based. Thank just you. As it is in public housing, they are turning it. They will be under a Section 8 voucher. So it we're not talking anything about 80% of AMI. That's we are still serving the extremely low and very low-income people who are living in Golden Gate Village today will be the same people that we are serving under this this new model.
Okay,
so great. Affordable is still income-based.
So just as it is now.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for that clarification. And thank you to Riley for your information. And Kimberly, it's good to see your whole team up there at the table with you today. So I'm going to move us on now to our next agenda item, and that is the presentation of Marin Housing Authority fiscal year 2024 financial statements and audit report and Fairfax Vest Pocket Enterprise Fund financial statements and report. Kimberly, I'm handing this to you.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, this is our annual audit for the entire agency, and then also for our a property that we own in the Fairfax Vest Pocket. And Kim Dolan is our CFO, who will be leading this item, along with our auditor, who will be online, Rich Larson.
Hi, I'm Kim Dolan. I'm the CFO of MHA, and I'm here today to present our annual audit. It's a milestone every year to do this, so I'm very happy that we are bringing this to you today. And hopefully our auditors are online and can speak to the audit more succinctly than I can.
Good afternoon, commissioners. How you doing? My name is Rich Larson. I am online. I cannot pop my video up. I guess that's a restriction. What I'd like to do,
excuse
though,
me, Rich, let me ask and see if our technical crew can get your picture and be more useful
it
to
says
see you.
You cannot start your video because it is disabled by the host.
Is the host able to? Yes,
Rich, can
you
go ahead now?
Okay. I mean, I can share my screen, so
you can do all of that, Rich.
No, I will pop the audit up there. So, but once again, my name is Rich Larson, my partner with Nova Gradic and Company. I'm your independent auditor, and I have the audit for the Marin County Housing Authority for the year ended December 31st, 2024. And what I'll do is I will reference the pages, but I'll just briefly take you through the audit report, and the financial statements. And what I'd like to do is pop that up on the screen, and so everybody can see. And hopefully you have also copies in front of you. Is that a large enough? I can.
Yes, we're good.
It is big enough? Okay. So there's three audit reports. I'll just briefly take you through those three audit reports. So what's on your screen now is our report of independent auditors. This is where we give an opinion on the financial statements of the authority. And when we talk about the financial statements of the authority, really the authority's financial reporting entity. And that consists of, and I have it highlighted here in the first paragraph on page one, is the primary government, which is your business type activities, which are all the programs that you're familiar with in the authority, you know, the public housing and the voucher program, and all those entities that the housing authority owns wholly. So that's considered your primary government. And then also your discretely presented component units, which is really Bradley House and Sundance Apartments. Now, the housing authority doesn't own them wholly, but you have accountability for those programs, for those entities. So therefore, the GASB, the Government Accounting Standards Board, says, hey, the taxpayer has a right to know, so you know, what your accountability is and what your responsibility is. So please include them in your financial reporting entity. So that's why we include those entities. And in the second paragraph, the good news is we give the authority an unmodified opinion on your primary government and the discretely presented component units, the financial statements of the housing authority. Unmodified opinion, although it doesn't sound very good, is the highest level of assurance that we can give as auditors. Basically, we're saying with an unmodified opinion, well, we say it right here. In our opinion, the financial statements referred to above present fairly in all material respects the financial position of the primary government and the aggregate discretely presented component units. So that is an unmodified opinion. Obviously, there are no modifications that need to be made to your financial statements for them to present fairly. And that's where we get unmodified from. So those are your basic financial statements. Now on page two, we talk about a few additions to the financial statements that are in addition to your basic financial statements. So about halfway down on page two, what's also included in the audit is something called the Management's Discussion and Analysis Report. And then there's also required pension and post-employment benefit information. Now, we don't issue an opinion on that because we don't do audit procedures on it. It's just a report from management on the results of the past year and comparing it to the prior year. And then there's just some state-provided information. And we say we do not provide an opinion or any assurance on that information. And that's standard in the industry. And finally, on page three, there is some additional information in the report that we do give an opinion on, in addition to the basic financial statements. There's a schedule of expenditures of federal awards, which we're going to talk about in a minute. And then there's also the financial data schedule that's required by HUD. And we do say that, in our opinion, those documents present fairly in relation to the basic financial statements taken as a whole. So, all in all, the independent auditor's report, unmodified opinion, highest level of assurance that we can give, no issues there. You should be very happy with that outcome. So page 58 now, and I hate to have you jump around if you're following on your own computer or with paper. Page 58 is the schedule of expenditures of federal awards. And this is the reason why we have to do the next two audits, or the two audit reports that follow this, is because of the level of federal expenditures. The federal government says if you have in excess of $750,000 of federal expenditures, you have to have a government auditing standards audit, and you also have to have an audit in accordance with the uniform guidance. And you can see here, the authority has $87 million, in excess of $87 million of federal expenditures. And with that, we're required to test all your type A programs, or your large programs, at least once every 3 years. And that's those items that are highlighted in gold. So, you know, we're testing The voucher cluster programs, those three, housing choice vouchers, mainstream vouchers, emergency housing voucher, and also the public and Indian housing program. So, you know, really put a lot of stress on the staff because these are very, very large programs. It represents about 94% of all your federal awards, or $82.5 million of your federal awards. We actually tested those programs for compliance, and we'll get into those results in a minute. So page 53, with that said, is your government auditing standards report. So it's the audit in accordance with government auditing standards. Now, there's two parts to this report and to this audit. The first part is where we as your auditors document and test your internal control structure over financial reporting. And anytime I talk about internal control, I'm really talking about what are the processes that the authority has in place to safeguard authority assets. So how do you process cash receipts? How do you process cash disbursements and payroll? We review your procurement policy. Is the authority following the procurement policy that the board approved? We read the minutes to your meetings because the board is an essential part of internal control over at a housing authority. So we read the minutes to your meetings, and if the board passes a resolution to hire XYZ contractor at a certain rate, we're actually going to go and make sure that the staff followed through with that resolution. Now, we obviously don't test 100% of your cash receipts and your payroll transactions and your procurement, or we don't read 100% of, or we don't test 100% of your board resolutions. We do a sample. And the great news is here is we did not identify any deficiencies in internal control that we consider to be a material weakness. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for weaknesses in that system where someone may have overrode a system of control. You know, if two signatures were required on a check and we only saw that one signature was there, that's something that we would report. If we saw a vendor was paid in excess of your procurement amount and that vendor did not go out for bid, that's an override of an internal control, and that's something we would have reported. But the good news is here is we did not identify any deficiencies in internal control. Second part of this audit in accordance with government auditing standards is where we look at the authority's compliance with laws and regulations and contracts and grant agreements and so forth. You know, did you follow state of California laws? Do you follow HUD regulations? Things like, did you pay your payroll taxes on time? You know, we're looking for material noncompliance here. So if you know, you didn't dot an I or cross a T on a document on a payroll tax return and you got a, you know, $112 penalty, that's not something we would report. But if there was material noncompliance, if you didn't file the return at all and you got a $15,000 penalty, that is something we would report. We did note a couple compliance issues that we're going to reference that this report crosses over with another report. Compliance issues in the Housing Choice Voucher Program, which we'll talk about in a minute. But we didn't have any findings resulting in, from laws or regulations or anything like that. So positive there. And finally, the third report is our report in accordance with the Uniform Guidance. And this is also federal law. And this is where we have to give an opinion. Did you or did you not comply with those four programs, the compliance requirements with those four programs that I highlighted before? Mainstream, Emergency Choice Voucher, Emerging Housing Voucher, Housing Choice Voucher Program, Public and Indian Housing Program. So we're testing literally hundreds of compliance requirements to determine if the housing authority complied. So with the voucher program, As I mentioned, we noted two findings this year. Now, findings, last year we had five findings in the voucher program, and this year it was reduced to two. But we do have to note those findings in the report. So we do say, in our opinion, except for the noncompliance or the findings that we're going to report, the authority did comply in all material respects with the compliance requirements referred to above that could have a direct and material effect on the Housing Choice Voucher Program. And I'm sorry if I didn't let you know, this is on page 55, this is. So there were two findings there, down from, I think, 5 last year. And then with the Public and Indian Housing Program, we gave what's called an unmodified opinion because we had no findings and no issues. So we say with the Public and Indian Housing Program, the authority complied in all material respects with those types of compliance requirements. Very, very positive outcome there. And I'll say we audit about 80 to 85 housing authorities annually. The voucher cluster of programs is the most cumbersome, the most compliance-driven program that HUD offers, in my opinion. We have findings in probably 60 or 70% of our audits just because it's so compliance-driven. Now, obviously, I'm not making an excuse for that. The good news is the findings did go from 5 to 2 in the voucher program and went from 1 to 0 in the public housing program. And we could go through those findings if you want. There was it was a tenant file issue and also a HQS, Housing Quality Standards Inspection issue. We can now jump to the financial statements, which start on page 12. I think the financial statements of the authority are pretty strong, so I do want to highlight a couple ratios anyway. So page 12 is your statement of net position. So for those that are, for those of you that are familiar with business, your statement of net position is like your balance sheet. It's a picture in time of the financial position of the authority. Now, the first column is really what we're going to talk about. That's the primary government that I mentioned before. This is the housing authority and the entities that the housing authority owns wholly, your blended component units. Column 2 here is Bradley House and Sundance Apartments. And if you want, we can go through that if you like. But one of the things when I talk to housing authority boards, and when you submit your financial statements to HUD, one of the things that they look at is your ability to pay bills as they become due. What is your financial strength of your authority? Because housing authorities have millions and millions of dollars of assets. A lot of it is tied up in notes receivable, as you could see here you have. It's tied up in capital assets. But what kind of liquidity do you have? What's your ability to pay bills as they become due? And so what HUD does is they look at your current assets, which right here you have about almost $15.3 million of current assets. Now this is on page 12. And if you jump down to page 13, where it says current liabilities, you have about $4.9 million of current liabilities. So by just taking your current assets less your current liabilities, it gives you about $10.4 million of what we call working capital. Your asset, current assets minus your current liabilities. Now you say, well, that sounds good, but for a housing authority our size, is that a healthy number? Would HUD be happy with when we submit our financial statements? Well, that represents about 8 months of operating reserves. So giving your expense level, your overhead expense level, represents about 8 months of operating reserves. HUD says if you have about 2 to 4 months on hand, that's about average. 4 to 6 months is good. You have just about 8 months, so you're on the top. You're above good right now. So that is a very, very positive ratio. And you know, that's not something that happens overnight. That's good financial management over the years. Operating within budgets. And if we can go to your page 14 is your statement of, is your statement of revenues and expenses and changes in net position. For all intents and purposes, that's the authority's P&L. So the authority had operating revenues of $92.3 million. I have that highlighted in green. Operating expenses of about $93.1 million. So we're showing a book loss of only about $780,000 operating loss. Now, the one thing I like to do, generally accepted accounting principles, which is the presentation here, and housing authority accounting sometimes doesn't gel. So for instance, depreciation expense, generally accepted accounting principle says, hey, that's an operating expense. Well, with HUD, a lot of your assets are purchased with capital grants, especially in your public housing program, where you use capital grants to purchase your assets that get written off to depreciation expense. So you don't really use operating revenues to purchase those assets. So what I like to do is add back that depreciation expense related to the public housing program. And when you do that, your $780,000 loss really turns into about a $274,000 operating profit. So So basically it's a break even on $92 million of operating revenues. I don't want to talk too much more, but I do want to point out, though, what it costs to run your housing authority. So your annual overhead, which are all the items I have highlighted here in gold, is about $15.8 million. So to turn the lights on, turn the key, unlock the doors, open the doors, it costs you about $15.8 million or $1.3 million per month. And so I mentioned before you had $10.4 million of working capital, and you divide that by your monthly overhead, and that's where we get the 8 months worth of operating reserves. And that's what HUD does when they're trying to determine how healthy the housing authority is financially. So I think it's very, very good ratios financially. I think it's, you know, the break even or a small operating profit is really where most housing authorities want to be. So I think it's pretty good news. With that, I'll turn it back to the commissioners, if I can. Let me see if I can find my stop sharing button.
Rich, thank you for your presentation. Very clear and understandable again. Questions from commissioners? I'm looking down to my right. Commissioner Lucan.
Not a question. I was just going to briefly mention that I served on the Finance Ad Hoc Committee and got some of this briefing earlier, and pleased where we are as an agency and did get a chance to review these materials in advance with other members of the Finance Committee, and generally very pleased at the progress we continue to make as an agency. So I just wanted to mention that on behalf of the Finance Ad Hoc.
Thank you very much for that. Any questions to my left? I'm not seeing any. Oh, Commissioner Canson.
I'm on that finance subcommittee too, and I just want to say I am pleased that we have progressed from last year's finding and the work that you have done, and also give Kim and Kimberly the chance to say that they agreed to make sure that any findings this year by the auditor would be addressed directly. Thanks.
Yeah, actually, I have some comments from the HCV staff if you'd like to hear them.
Yes, please, Kim.
From leadership. So for the tenant files, the recertification transactions are being reviewed by the assistant manager and the program manager for completeness and accuracy, and they're hoping that the calculation errors will therefore decrease due to that. The eight late annual recertifications, the program manager and assistant manager are reviewing the recertifications due report every 2 weeks and meet with staff to focus on late recertifications and timely notifications for enforcement. And then we have the forms that they were looking for in the files, and those are legacy forms that we get at the very beginning of our relationship with these tenants. And so they're trying to get these forms signed this year and going forward so that they are current and no longer become legacy forms that can be lost in the file. So they're going to ask for those forms on an annual basis. And then the inspections, there were late inspections this year, three, as opposed to 12 last year. There were only three this year. And the program manager and the inspection staff are also reviewing a report that they get from HUD every 2 weeks that monitors the late inspections and so that they can resolve and be on top of those as needed.
That's a good report, Kim. Thank you. And for those who are listening, what you've just listed off were the areas that were noted, and you've just described the corrections and improvements that are being made.
Yes.
Great. Great. Okay. Thank you. We'll open to public comment on this item. Is there anyone in the chambers who wishes to speak about the audit and the audit results?
You heard it wrong. My question, isn't Sundance owned by the Marin Housing Authority? Or
no, Sundance is not owned by the Marin Housing Authority.
But it was at one point in time. Am I correct? Correct?
Yeah, I wonder if we could take this offline, Royce. Is it germane to the audit?
That's what caught, I was listening to what he said, and when he, because I remember when Sundance, the Housing Authority, obtained Sundance, and so when he said it's not owned by, you know.
Okay.
Of course.
No, things change. Okay.
Someone will be able to give me that answer?
Yes.
Maybe not now, but.
Yes.
Soon. Just wondering.
Next, please.
This is in regards to the recertification. I did get an email stating that my recertification was late. I never received the first one, and I did email her back saying that I wanted a paper one mailed to me because I have never done it online, and then now they're expecting me to do it like that. But I did go up there and ask to see my file. Because I have some special accommodations and some restraining orders and stuff, my file was completely empty, and they can't tell me where anything is at. Plus, I have to go out of my way now to go to the doctors again to get the papers that they need again. I don't know how that could have happened, and there's no explanation to it. It is just what it is. And there are some really important restraining orders in there because if anything happens to me, they don't know who to go to, who the person that is harassing me.
Okay. Let me ask our staff to follow up with you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Next, please.
Laura Hathaway, I just have two comments or questions. First of all, I noted that they were saying that the capital fund funds are being used to address any of the issues for Golden Gate Village housing right now that exist. But I've noted that there are ongoing issues of water and heat, which most people who live in rental units don't have to pay rent unless they actually have heat or hot water and or water that's potable or drinkable. The second question that I have relates to how does the federal lawsuit and the funds that need to be paid, where are those coming from, and is that a part of this audit? Because I understand that is now also being settled, although I understand there's an issue with some people who didn't receive some of the notices and then have been kicked off of that, but I still understand that that's a settlement that's happening and funding needs to be coming from somewhere. Is that part of the audit? Thank you.
Okay, I'm not seeing any other speakers in the chambers. Anyone online?
There are no speakers in the queue.
Thank you. Okay, we'll bring that back to our team for any responses.
Yes, I would like to take a moment. I want to really thank Kim Dolan and her whole accounting team for all the heavy lifting around working with the accountant and, the auditor to get this done. It's a heavy lift, as you can see. But I also really, behind all of that, it's the team, it's the staff who have really made some improvements on what we had done over the last year. And as you will remember, we brought all of the staffing back in-house. So we were contracted out with Nan McKay, and as of last September, we brought all that staff in. And so we've hired quite a few new eligibility workers and the staff has trained them and has worked with them and is doing quality control. And I just want to say they've been doing a really great job, and it's been a lot of work, and it's showing in this audit report. So I just want to thank all of them, and I just want to make sure you, that that is really highlighted of all the heavy lift that was behind this report.
Yes, very much noted, and thank you, Kimberly and Kim, and your all your teams. I know how challenging getting these audits done is with all the different regulations you have to comply with. Yes, thank you. Rich, is there anything you'd like to add at this point in time?
Thank you, Commissioner, and I would like to echo the same comments. You know, we audited, I think I mentioned, $82 million of federal expenditures. It put a tremendous burden on the staff, and it will probably be like that going forward because your voucher cluster of programs are so big, they're always going to be picked. And then we'll also always have to pick a public housing or a related program. So it's a lot of testing we do. My staff was incredibly complimentary of the staff at Morin. You know, they have a great attitude. Their attitude, hey, if, you know, we're doing something wrong or we can do it better, just let us know and we'd like to do that. And that's very refreshing. And I think you've got very good results in the audit because of that. And I just would like to thank them, and it is a pleasure working with them.
Thank you so much for those remarks. With that, if there's no other comments or questions, I'm going to ask for a motion to approve the MHA and Fairfax Pocket Enterprise Funds Fiscal Year 2024 Audit Report. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Thank you. We have moved by Sackett, seconded by Canson. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposition? Hearing none, that motion passes unanimously. Thank you to the entire team. Thank you, Rich. Good to be with you again this year. We'll move now to our last item, 14E, the five-year plan and annual plan update for 2026. And this is a public hearing.
And I have asked Kathleen White, our Director of Housing Operations. She's managing this process that we do every year as an annual plan, and then every 5 years we do the five-year update, and that is what she did this year. So I'm going to let her give the report.
Yes. Good afternoon. So, yes, I'm very excited to present this five-year plan for 2026 through 2030, as well as the annual update to the previous five-year plan. The statistics in our progress reports, please note, are only for the past year. It's not for the whole past five-year term. So, just so you know that. So, we're excited about the new goals that we have for the next 5 years, and that's going to include continuing the great work in the Shelter Plus Care and FSS programs, and of course the big conversion of Golden Gate Village to project-based. We also have some progress that we want to point out for the rest of it, which is the 100% lease up in our Housing Choice Voucher program, including 24 formerly homeless vets that we housed at Puett Place in Novato, and that the FSS program has exceeded all goals, and they are currently serving 150 families, so that's a big one. We met with the Resident Advisory Board several times and had the plan out for public comment for 45 days, and now we're here for this public hearing. So that's what we're doing.
So I'm going to open the public hearing officially now. And so are there any slides or any commentary about the content at all?
We don't have any slides.
All right.
But I do want to, you know, we have our goals that we want to preserve and create a quality, affordable housing. We also want to maintain the agency's strong financial position, encourage client stability and upward mobility, foster a culture of excellence and innovation in our work environment, and continue to strengthen relationships with the county and the city and the board. Are really our overarching goals. And then you'll see the goals that we had been able to achieve over the last year. I think Kathleen did highlight a few of those, but they're on the page here too.
Okay, all right. Well, all right, then I'm gonna open for any question, board.
I got a question.
Yes, please, Commissioner Canson.
Thank you for the annual plan update. So. There are some things I do have a question on. are you still working with, I know that we had that situation with Anchor Outs and housing and some of those people that have been displaced, is that still an ongoing program where you're helping to house them? Does that go through Shelter Plus Care? Because somebody was just asking me that the other day.
No, that's part of the RBRA program, the Richardson Bay, what is the RC?
Regional Agency Authority.
yeah, that's separate. It's a.
So if I were to, is there a page on the website where they could access that information? Just that's
All of those referrals are coming through coordinated entry.
Okay.
So it's through the county's coordinated entry, and then they're being referred to us.
Okay. And so the other thing is, as far as I know that we've talked about this new thing where landlords are charging water, sewer, and garbage for a lot of our Section 8. And I know that you're working with our lovely board president on trying to do something about that. Because that's something I'd like to be put in the annual plan, because I think that's affecting a lot of our housing choice voucher tenants especially. And then I would like to see part of the housing plan to see how that's going to factor out with the utility payment, maybe something in that utility plan, some notation about that, because I know that's hard. As far as the annual, the other thing is I am very happy with where we're sitting financially in the budget. But I would like maybe at a later date to see something about our employees, because I think sometimes when we talk about work schedules, and I know you guys are still on the 3-2 work schedule, and so many state governments and stuff have come back to work, maybe if there's a time as we get more and more vouchers that have to be processed, that we're kind of pulling back on that and making it so maybe people can come, you know, at least do more days in the office, because I think sometimes that might be how files get misplaced. I don't know. I'm just putting the question out there. And then if it's possible, maybe we could do something about letting us know your updates. I know you do a good job, Kimberly, letting us know the updates with Shelter Plus Care. If you could give us more updates, because I love those stories, and they're always a great resource of joy. You guys do a great job with that. As far as when we talk about Golden Gate Village and revitalization, I think I did send you, and I'm not sure if it's on your website, and it was like HUD's RAD responsibilities to tenants, and maybe you could put that out and put it in the monthly flyer, because it details all the rights and responsibilities of us as far as meeting tenants' obligations, as far as them coming back and all those things, and maybe that might help. Kim, I want to thank you for a great job. I know that was a lot, especially with stuff here and stuff over there. And then, you know, maybe we can talk about in the future as the plan update goes, you know, staff stories. Maybe every once in a while you can throw a staff story and something where a staff did something really good and highlight mm-hmm. that. As far as the maintenance issues, maybe that's something you could do quarterly with a subcommittee of the resident housing or something like that, so that they can be understand the updates. I don't want us to have any bad blood between our tenants. I hate to see bad blood between our tenants and our staff, because I think we all are trying to get to the same place, or we're supposed to all be trying to get to this place. So if there's anything that we can do to alleviate that, even if it's a quarterly meeting, even if it's on Zoom, something just, you know, so everybody's on the same page. And I want to thank you guys for your work.
Hey, that sounded like some good compliments. Anything else? Commissioner Hall? Tony, all right. Very good. Then we will open to public comment on this item.
Aura Hathaway, again, I just want to make a simple correction on these annual and five-year plan, that at the top of them it says they expire 3/31/2024, and I know you don't mean that.
It's just a HUD form, sorry.
That's at the top of this page right here on the annual and the five-year plan. I want to just address the annual plan, if I might, and in terms of the deconcentration of poverty and other policies. I noticed that we don't have that spelled out, and I just want to read what it says here. Deconcentration and other policies that govern eligibility, selection, and admissions. PHAs must submit a deconcentration policy for field office review for additional guidance on what a PHA must do to deconcentrate poverty in its development and comply with fair housing requirements. Describe the PHA's admission policy for deconcentration of poverty and income mixing of lower income families in public housing. The deconcentration must describe the PHA's policy for bringing higher income tenants into lower income developments and lower income tenants into higher income developments. The deconcentration requirements apply to general occupancy and family public housing developments. For developments not subject, in anyway, so we won't go into that. But that, I think, addresses something that the community is concerned about, which means, yes, it will be a mixed income development, and it necessarily means that not everybody will have the right to return because there's a need to bring in people with higher incomes, and I think we need to just really, that's an elephant in the room, and we need to really bring it out. And really flush it out for people. What happens, I understand everything's going to be rad, but will they all be project-based vouchers? And then you know, we need to talk about that too. So I know my time is over. Thank you.
I just want to echo a little of what Aura said. Because in the one-year plan, it says MHA expects one existing property to receive 12 project-based vouchers and 12 vouchers for veterans. My question is, at what what property?
What page is that?
It's on page 2 of 17 on the, but this here. But it's
last year's.
Then the question would be, if it's not the current one, then this was not ever, never met.
Yeah, it was. That was the 24 people that I referred to earlier.
Yeah.
The veterans that were moved into the Puett place last year.
So you, what about for this year?
That's not part of the plan this year.
But did you meet it?
Yes.
Again, what properties? That was my question.
We will follow up.
Yeah, let's follow up on that.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
As well as, lastly, because you took my time, is as it relates to the, what is it? The deconcentration policy.
Yeah, and I'm going to ask that be taken offline because, honestly, last two speakers, you know, you're seeding a lot of misinformation about this.
No,
these
I'm only reading.
These are going to be public housing in Golden Gate Village. So let us take
no,
this offline.
No, this comes from
last year's.
And this year.
Okay.
I have both.
Okay. Yes, I'm going to ask us to take that offline.
Huh?
We'll follow up with you about that.
When?
Within the week.
Thank you.
Got it. Okay. I'm not seeing any speakers.
Yes. I have a quick comment.
Okay.
If I
sure,
may.
Commissioner.
Yeah. I mean, I want to. I'm good. Come on, Nevada. You gotta. So I want to thank you for the presentation, the annual plan, very much. But, you know, I've been listening to it. One of the things that we've been working here at the county is sort of a cultural change, you know, and not just sort of focused on that. So I would like if there was some way that staff might come back to us and see if there's a way that we might improve the relationship between the members of the community and staff. Since I've been on the board, it just seems acrimonious. And perhaps there's a way that we can do some staff can come with some outreach to perhaps engage in honest conversations, but they just might be a bit more constructive on a part of everyone involved and perhaps approach it from a perspective of best intent, recognizing that everyone brings challenges and that we're all trying to move toward a better and brighter future as a community all aligned.
Okay. Commissioner Canton, did you have any further? All right. We're going to close public comment now. Thanks to everyone who provided comment. If there are no further board questions, I would appreciate a motion to approve the five-year and annual plan update for 2026.
So moved.
I'll second.
Thank you. We have a motion by Lucan, a second by Colbert. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Any opposition? Okay, that motion carries unanimously. And with that, this concludes our meeting. Thank you to all who attended and to Housing Authority staff. We are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's all right.